Grace, mercy, and peace belong to you from God our Father and our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Just like our preacher last Thursday, Peter Estrom Jr., I too struggled to come up with an intro for this text today, but I think I have one that will set the stage quite right. When I was 11 years old, my dad and I took a bike ride, and this was something we regularly did, but this was the longest bike ride I had ever done at the time. It was 104 miles, and it was called the Tri-States 100, and it went from Alabama, Georgia, and Florida, that southern part of Alabama and Georgia and the northern part of Florida. And, well, it was September, and if you guys have lived around that area, it was hot. It was so hot. And, I was a little kid at the time. I wasn't really prepared for what I had embarked on. There were three things that really kept me motivated. The first thing was that I would be able to drink as much water as I could at the end of it. I had this little 12-ounce water bottle that I really liked, but I should have listened to my dad's instructions and gotten a bigger one. The second thing that kept me motivated was that every pedal I took would leave me closer to the end. And the third thing that kind of motivated me a little bit was the fact that I had just seen Rocky III with a friend of mine. And and the Eye of the Tiger was rushing through my mind as I'm doing this. And I'm imagining I'm like the little Rocky trying to defeat, I think the bad guy, and that was Clubber Lang. And sure enough, slowly but surely, I made my way the 104 miles. That theme, that kind of, that push, the part that motivates you, the part that sustains you, and the song that compels you to go on is really what we're looking at today in our text from Isaiah chapter 12. We're going to consider this as our theme today, that our sustaining song is the fact that God is our salvation. We're going to look at two aspects here. We're going to look at, first of all, why do we sing? And secondly, what is the song? We're going to read the text. In that day, you will say, O Lord, I will praise you. Though you were angry with me, your anger is turned away, and you comfort me. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For Yah, the Lord, is my strength and song. He also has become my salvation. Therefore, with joy, you will draw water from the wells of salvation. In that day, you will say, Praise the Lord, call upon his name, declare his deeds among the peoples. Make mention that his name is exalted. Sing to the Lord, for he has done excellent things. This is known in all the earth. Cry out and shout, O inhabitants of Zion, for great is the Holy One of Israel in your midst. So the first thing that we're going to consider is, really, why do we sing? In the book of Isaiah, God has a number of messages for his people. The first is what's recorded in chapter 1, and I'm just going to read you some verses right now. The first thing is that he says that they have disobeyed him. These are the words from Isaiah chapter 1. I have nourished and brought up children, and they have rebelled against me. The ox knows its owner, the donkey knows its master's manger, but Israel does not know. So Israel, just like us, is on a journey. Not the promised land journey, that's been long in the past, but they're on a journey of faith, looking for the coming Messiah, and they're looking for the prophet's messages. And the prophet's messages are tough. They're saying, you've disobeyed me. You have not treated me as your salvation. You have not treated me as your strength. And really, what's the core issue behind that disobedience? It's the fact that they want to rely upon themselves for their certainty, for their salvation. They don't want to rely upon God. Now, perhaps we can look at ourselves and say, well, I'm not Israel, right? I've gotten the whole revelation of God in the Old and New Testaments, so I must be in a better position, right? But really, just like them, we know God's desire for us. He wants us to rely upon him in every trouble, in every need, in every trial. Just as the Israelites were beset with enemies around them, and often did not flee for God as their refuge. We too are beset with enemies around us. We have enemies all over the place. And sometimes it's easy to flee to the quick fixes of the world rather than look to God. So what do those quick fixes look like? Well, sometimes they could be taking a shortcut in your classes, in anything in your life that would compromise your morals. Maybe one example for this is signing your name on a paper that AI wrote for you. It's a great tool, but it can be easily abused. Perhaps another quick fix would be escaping your problems rather than facing them head on. Well, listen, I'm the king of procrastination, but that's not a good thing. And it's not for you guys as well. And really, it's anything that allows you to deflect from the fact that God is your certainty, that God is your base, that God is the rock behind everything that you do. When we disobey God, when we don't consider him as our strength, as our salvation, as the most important thing in our life, we're just like Israel. We want to do things on our own way, do things in our own time. And we disobey him in thought, word, and deed. So God, just like he was with Israel, has the right to be angry with you. And he has the right to be angry with me. But listen to our text now. Though you were angry with me, your anger is turned away, and you comfort me. So something's happened. Something's going on. Isaiah is talking about the fact that this is all done, that God himself is going to set aside his throne and come down and become our salvation. And how is this realized? Well, through the second person of the Trinity, in Jesus Christ. Through Jesus, God redeemed us all. He truly has become our salvation. In fact, this is why, and Jesus never once lived in a way. It's recorded in the New Testament. His heavenly Father declared him to be his beloved Son in whom he is well pleased. God shouted this to remind us the fact that, yeah, we have a full redemption in Jesus. Jesus has lived a perfect life. He never once disobeyed his heavenly Father. He looked to his commandments. He looked to what he set before him, the path of life that he was to live, and he perfectly ran that course. He didn't once deviate from it. He always considered his heavenly Father to be his rock, to be his source of strength. He never once sinned. And it's only through Jesus' atoning sacrifice that we know that God looks upon us and he declares us that we are his own dear children as well. Isaiah started this whole thing with a reference to that day. And that day is only seen through the cross of Christ. The fact that our redemption in Jesus, he was nailed to the cross, suffered our sins and our punishment, and he really took our place. And, of course, he didn't stay there. On the third day, as we're going to celebrate in just a little over a week, he rose from the dead. And his resurrection proves to you that your sins do not exist on you anymore. He has certainly taken them as far as the east is from the west. You can sing with Isaiah that God is your salvation. We're going to consider the second thing that we're going to talk about today. And that is, well, what does a song consist of? The first thing is that God has not just laid out, he's not just given you this text and all of Scripture just to sit upon it once. But he actually has instead given you to be constant reminders of this fact, to be a source that you can go to and look at and pull out this beautiful information. He has given you the word and the sacraments to be constant reminders of the fact that he is your salvation, and in him you don't have to be afraid. Jesus used this exact image. He used this idea of water that's found in our text where Isaiah says, "You draw water from the wells of salvation." And he used this with the Samaritan woman. He said, "Whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become a spring of water welling up into eternal life." And God has given you the word and sacraments, again, to be reminders of this, to constantly go there and find truth, to find the certainty that he is your salvation. We're going to consider three different aspects of the song. The first is that this is a song of trust. It's a personal declaration of trust for each of you that God has, in his infinite mercy and grace, come down and given you the assurance that your sins are forgiven, that there's nothing that separates you. Isaiah says, "I will trust and not be afraid." Yeah, as we talked about, God has the right to be angry with us. But through his Son, those sins, that anger, does not exist on us anymore. It lies on the cross. That's where it belongs. That's where God has put it. That's why you can rejoice with Isaiah and take this song as your own and say, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. The second thing this does is it's a praise song, right? This is a song of praise that wells up. This is why Isaiah says, sing to the Lord, for he has done excellent things. It can't be contained. It exists in your life. And the third thing that we want to talk about is how it compels us to witness. Isaiah says, declare his deeds among the peoples. That as you live your life with the certainty that God is your salvation, well, there's nothing that can prevent you from spreading this news. It's a glorious news. The fact that he is going to have you in heaven. I mean, what a glorious message this is. As we live our lives and as we go out into the world, let this be on your minds. Just like the Samaritan woman who Jesus gave that, you know, drink from the wells, we are too are to make mention that his name is exalted. And this witness isn't something that's a burden. It's not something that's cast upon us. It's just a natural reaction to hearing about how much God loves you and how wonderful his grace is. So take this final thought with you today. The song in Isaiah 12, these six verses, this is the entirety of Isaiah 12, by the way. This is your song too. It's a song for every sinner that looks to Christ as his or her redemption. It's the song that has been fed, where you find healing in Jesus' wounds. It's the certainty that God is your salvation. Surely you are surely you trust in God and you will not be afraid of whatever life throws at you, whether that be darts of the devil or whatever may stand in your way. Let us sing this song of salvation boldly. Let us rejoice in it. In our worship, in our daily lives, wherever we go. Because yes, as you've probably heard this song many times before, surely it is God who saves me. I will trust in him and not be afraid. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and evermore shall be, forevermore. Amen. Heavenly Father, in you alone can we trust and not be afraid. Because of our sin and rebellion, you were angry with us. But through your Son, you have redeemed for yourself a people from all tribes and nations. You are our strength and song. Without you, we can do nothing. Lord, grant us your Holy Spirit to remind us of the joy of our salvation. We ask this all through Jesus Christ, your beloved Son, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one true God, now and forever. Amen.
Oh,
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.